Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Beis, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Fine, so we're going to move on now to another issue that has a lot of things in common between somebody who's sending a get shechrur and somebody who's sending a get to his wife, and that is that HaOmer Tein Get Zeh LeIshti. Same way that you could create a shliach who will be melech the get to a wife, you could create a shliach who will be melech the get to an eved. The get, of course, to an eved we call a shtar shechrur. It's a technical name. Now, if you give it to a shliach, im ratzel achzor b'shnehem, yachzor. If you want to change your mind before the get reaches the woman and before the shtar shechrur reaches the eved, then you can change your mind. What is the chiddush in this? The chiddush is that even though there was a shliach and he was holding that get until it gets to the woman or to the eved, that we don't say zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. Remember that we have a halacha that even where somebody was not commissioned for a particular shlichus, if we have a standing assumption that a person would be happy to have that done in his benefit. So let's say you want to give like we just had. We say, I'm going to give this Erev Tavshilin to everybody in town, right? And then you give it to somebody to be Zoche. Who appointed him to be Zoche? But that's called Zachin Ladam Shelo B'fanav, that he would be happy to know, oh, whew, thank God, I'd forgotten to make an Erev Tavshilin. This guy made it for me. He's very happy. What could he possibly lose? By the way, if it would come to an Erev Tchumim, obviously that wouldn't be true. Because an Erev Tchumim, if you give him an Erev to one direction, he loses his right to walk in the other direction. The reason that that's important for us to note is because in order for something to be assumed as a schus, it has to be something that's quite evidently a schus and that doesn't have any downside, because otherwise we cannot assume that the person would want this to be done for him. So therefore, Tainas Rebbe Meir, even though I gave this to a shliach, it is not a benefit for the person on whose behalf it was given to the shliach, is it? I mean, the shliach wants to do the best he can for that person, okay? I mean, why would a woman want to get a divorce if it's going to cost her support? And why would an eved want to get a divorce if it's going to cost him his support? That's the simple assumption. And therefore, says Rabbi Meir, as long as this guy who gave the get or the shtar shechrur changes his mind, there was no zechut for the part of a beneficiary. He's not a beneficiary. So until the get actually gets there, there's nothing to prevent him from changing his mind because nothing was given away. So says Rabbi Meir. The Chachomim say, now, wait a minute. That's true about Gittin Nashim. But when it comes to Avadim, I mean, an Eved would rather be free, wouldn't he? And therefore, the moment that the Shliach takes this Shtar, he is Zoche in it to the extent that the guy can't change his mind. Because you told me take this to him. I'm going to. But now I don't want you to take it to him. Well, too bad. You gave it to me. And now I'm taking it on his behalf to give it to him. So how can you change your mind? So there, since it's obviously advantageous, Taina de Chachomim to Rabbi Meir, it's advantageous for an Eved to go free. So there, we will be Zocha, but not for the wife, because over there, Zochin Ladam Shelo B'Fanav, but Ein Chavim Lo Ela B'Fanav. We can't do anything that is to his disadvantage. So the shichrur is an advantage to the eved, but the divorce, since it costs the woman her parnasah, is not an advantage for the woman. Because when it comes to an eved, you could say, I understand, but if you're going to divorce the eved, then the eved's going to be losing his parnasah also, right? No, wrong. Because if the adon didn't want to feed his eved, he would be able to say, I'm not feeding you. So therefore, there's nothing to guarantee that Eved that he's going to be taken care of. So there's no downside. If now he's free And anyway, the other one wants to get rid of him. I mean, he could get rid of him anyway and not support him. Masha Inken, you can't tell your wife, I'm not going to support you. So for a wife, it is, in fact, downsides. And therefore, the Shalola Zunet Ishto Ein Rishayim, because of that, Ein Chavim La'adam Shalo Befanat. In which case, if the man changes his mind, we agree with you. The Shliach can't say, sorry, sir, it's too late for you to change your mind, because we were already Zoche in this for the benefit of your wife. Benefit, says he. What benefit? It's not a benefit at all. So Rabbi Meir said to them, your point, however, is not well taken. Why? Because the Reu Posilat Avdomina Truma. Look, I mean, the bottom line is, even if he would say, I will not feed my Eved, the Eved, as long as he is the Eved of a Kohen, is going to be able to go wherever he wants and ask for Truma, because the Eved of a Kohen is given Truma. The master can't stop him from getting Truma, and therefore, in the event that he divorces his Eved with a Shtar, I'm using the term divorce, so we should keep remembering the La La Mi Isha, right? So in the event that he gives him a Shtar Shechur, which is the equivalent of a divorce, then he loses his right to Truma. That is a clear-cut, 100% loss, says Rabbi Meir, to the Eved, and therefore, they cannot be doing him any favors unless the Eved says, this is what I want. But we certainly do not have a standing order that would allow the person to say, I'm sure that the Eved would like to go free, and therefore, I was already Zocha to bring him this get. Now, later on, of course, we talked about this before, that if in the case where the Eved was not an Eved to a Kohen, Rabbi Meir wouldn't be saying anything intelligible. So why all of a sudden is he bringing Raya from Truma? I mean, isn't the point? That would be a very limited case. So remember, we said before, and the Gemara is going to explain this, we're going to get to the Gemara that explains why this would be true, even in Eved Yisrael, because the point that Rabbi Meir makes is that not only is there the issue of Truma, but there are tremendous sexual advantages for an Eved to remain an Eved. That's the point, because if he's an Eved, he has easy access to cheap and satisfying sex for him. If he's a Ben Chorin, then he already has limitations and he can't sleep with a Shivcha if he's going to have to marry a Jewish girl. Oh, God, that's a Jewish princess already. I can't treat her like a piece of garbage, and I'm going to have to actually respect her. And he doesn't want that. He would much rather have free access. So therefore, even in Eved Yisrael, Rabbi Meir considers that to be more valuable to him than his freedom. Fine. Okay. So therefore, he said that you can't do that, because Kishem Shu Posilat Ishto, you understand that if I am going to give a get to my wife, says the Kohen, that that's obviously a downside, because then she won't be able to eat Truma. So then the same thing should be true for the Eved. And it's considered to be down. It's a chov. It's not considered to be a zechut. Omru lo, so the chachamim said to him, that doesn't prove anything. That's mipnei shuhu kinyano. Okay, so later on the Gemara is going to discuss the question of what exactly is meant mipnei shuhu kinyano. But there's two basic approaches to this. One is that since the Odin could anyway get rid of this Eved by selling him to a Yisrael. So basically, what's the downside to the Eved of being free while he's at it, right? Because as far as the Truma is concerned, the Odin always has the option of passing him from the Truma, even without this get shichur, by simply selling him to a non-Kohen. The more basic explanation is that since the Eved is only eating Truma because he is the property of the Kohen, then the fact that the Kohen would passel him from eating Truma is not a chov to the Eved, because it has nothing to do with the Eved. It's an ancillary effect of the ownership of the Kohen. And therefore, you cannot taina that that's ein chavin lo la'adam, because that's and something that comes out of the question of his freedom, but it cannot be the focus of, well, I mean, I am, after all, Roy Latruma. You're not Roy Latruma. Let's first decide whether this is a kosher get shichur, and then we'll worry about whether you can eat betruma. Now, the question over here is, at what point can this shliach taina, I was already zoicha? So this is a big machlokes rishonim. The pashtus is that the schus that we're talking about is the actual schus in the divorce, so that he would become a shliach for the kabbalas haget shichur. However, Rashi holds that that's not the point. Tosis discusses this possibility as well. Point is not that he becomes a free man at the moment that the shliach takes this get for him, because the truth is that he was never appointed to be a shliach kabbalah. The Odin said, give him this get. So that the only zechus that we're talking about over here, according to Rashi, at least Rashi in one place, is the fact that I was zoche in being the shliach to bring him this get without you being able to do anything about that. That's the point. So this is a machlokas. It's not really all that relevant to the basic question over here. And therefore, let's discuss the implications of whether this is a chov or not to the Eved. So Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef were sitting in front of Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah had dozed off, which we often find, right? So Yasser Rav Yirmiyah become an amnim. So Rav Yirmiyah had dozed off. The Talmidim are sitting there waiting for him to wake up. You know, they're not going to bother him. And they're talking between each other. So Rav Huna says, well, you know what you see from here, according to the Rabbanan, that they taina, that in the event that he gives this to the shliach to bring to an eved, it's a schus, and therefore he can't change his mind. That's what the Rabbanan said. But you see from there that what that means is that hatofes lebaal chov kana. So somebody, look, it's none of my business. I'm the shliach, right? So it's none of my business to do this for the Eved. Nonetheless, let's say if I'm a guy that walks in knowing that Reuven owes Shimon money, and I walk in and I see some money lying on the table, and Reuven's been claiming he doesn't owe any money. I know that he owes money because I was there. So then if I take that money, I can be tofeset and keep it for Shimon. So Shimon, I got your money back from Reuven. Because that's what's happening over here. The owner changed his mind, and he doesn't want to give this. But Lamaisa, you're the shliach, and you're saying, yeah, well, I'm not giving it back to you. Tough. You already made me the shliach. I'm going to bring this again, right? So you see that according to the Rabbanan, who say that he can do that, so if somebody is tofes a baal chov, and he takes this property, so then that means that I can take your property for somebody else. Okay? Because that's what he's doing. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, his chavrusa, says to him, but so then you should be able to prove for the Mishnah that even if that's going to cause problems for somebody else, because, I mean, in this case, you are removing from the Odin his ability to hold on to this slave if he changes his mind. Because you took it away from him, and now you're going to give this get to the Eved, correct? So let's imagine a case where we're talking about property, actual real estate. You walk in, you know, and you take this property, and you're zocha in it. You say, on behalf of the person to whom you lent money, and he has a mortgage on this property, and now I'm enforcing that mortgage. You go and you get the property for this other guy, even though he didn't make your shliach. So apparently you could do that despite the fact that someone else shows up and say, hey, wait a minute, man. I had a lien on that property too. And if you take it away, I can't exercise my lien. Nonetheless, that's what's happening over here because it's hurting the Odin. And nonetheless, we said you could do it. So then that would mean even if he's causing somebody else a problem, that doesn't matter. Now, this is a big machlokas, whether you can take money for one person that is owed money when it's going to make a problem for somebody else to collect his money. So it seems to be that this would be 100%. If you're claiming that the Mishnah Libet Rabbanan is a raya, that you can go ahead and be Tefes Lebal Chov, so you can also prove from here you can be Tefes Lebal Chov, B'mokam Shechav La'acherim. Gavi, dear, remember this is Tefsim Lebal Chov, is one question, and Tefes Lebal Chov, B'mokam Shechav La'acherim. So Rav Luna said, yes, I think that this is a great raya. So now, of course, as we know, Rabbi Yirmiyah always wakes up when he doesn't like the way the conversation is going. So he isn't quite asleep, okay? And whenever he wakes up, he always speaks a little bit in Yiddish, you know? So he says, Kinderlach, Kinderlach, he says. So over here, he says it in Aramaic, Dardiki, little boys. You're very mixed up over here. I got to tell you what the din is in this issue. Tardiki, Achi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Atofes Lebal Chov, B'Bokam Shechav Lachem, Lo Kana. Now, you're worried about the Mishnah. Im Tomar Mishnah Tenu. If you're going to say, what about this Mishnah? I mean, Rav Huna brought a great raya over here. Obviously, the Mishnah is not a raya. Why? Because there is another issue, namely, Kola Omer Tnu Ka Omer Zechu Dami. The moment that you told this Eved, give this to my Eved, that is basically saying, I'm handing it over to you. Now, this Zechu, remember, is part of the Machlokas that we mentioned earlier between Rashi and other Rishenim. Does it mean that he actually went into freedom the moment that the Adon gave the Shliach this get, or does it just mean he can't cancel the Shlichut? Okay, that still holds, because he did not say Zechu, literally, but saying Tenu is the equivalent of saying, it's in your hands to deliver, and I'm out of this. That's what it would mean, according to Rashi. Okay, so if that's the case, we cannot use this to address the overall machlokas about whether you could be tefes lebal chov, b'mokam shechav lachem. And actually, there seems to be a machlokas about whether Rabbi Yochanan is correct in this. Because Omer of Chista, the truth is that there's a machlokas in the Mishnah about whether atofis lebal chov, b'mokam shechav lacherim is actually valid. Because it's really a part of the Mishnah in Peah. So, Banu Machloket Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbanan, here the question is that if you yourself, the owner, went ahead and took the Peah, the Tanan, Mishali Ketet HaPeah, so the owner, he can't take Peah because he has plenty of money of his own, and he went and he was Zoche in the Peah, and he says, I want to be Zoche in this Peah for Mr. So-and-so. Who is Roy to take payah for Mr. So-and-so, who is an Ani? So Rebbe Eliezer says, okay, Zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, and that's perfectly okay, and you therefore were Zocha in it on behalf of the Ani, even though the Ani never made you a Shliach. But the Chachamim say, oh no, because if you do that, then you're going to prevent other Aniim from getting to get it, right? So you are not allowed to do that. Yitnenu la'ani animtza rishon. The first ani that you bumped into, you've got to give it to. Because who gave you the right to deprive the other aniim from the payah? So that means that where it's chav la'acherim, if there's a downside for other people, then you don't have a right to be zoicha in it. So isn't that the same as the question over here? Apparently, that's the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yochanan was going only according to Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yochanan said that you cannot, sorry, going only according to Chachamim, you cannot be Zoche. And apparently there's the other Shita, which is that you can be Zoche, even though it's going to cost others that they can't get that pay. And that's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Omar, Meimar, Vitemar of Papa. That maybe is no connection between this Machlokas of Rebbe Eliezer, the Chachomim, and the Mishnah of Peah, and the question about the general issue of whether you could be Zerchel Olam in the case where it would be Chav La'acherim. Because Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rebbe Eliezer, I could say to you the only reason that Rebbe Eliezer said that that Ashir can be Zocha in Peah for the Ani is because of Amigo. Because every Ashir can instantly become Zocha to Peah. Why? Because all he has to do is to be Mafkir all of his money. And at that point, he could be mafker all of his money, and that makes him an ani, and then he would be allowed to take that payah for himself. And since he could theoretically be zocha in this payah for himself, because of that, he could be zocha it for somebody else. But in a normal case where it's none of your darn business, and you're going to go in there and you're going to take property for one out of a group of creditors, and you'll say, well, I want it, you know, to be Zocha in this for so-and-so. We'll say, what about, who gives you the right to hurt these other creditors in order to benefit one creditor? Exactly the same thing that we would have said over here. Who gives you the right to benefit one ani for the benefit, for the detriment of other aniim? If it wouldn't be for the Migo, of course we wouldn't have said that. So in this case, Avalhaka, you're trying to be Zocha for a creditor? No way. And I could say it in the opposite direction. I could say also that the Rabbanan may be limited Dafka to that case that he cannot be Zocha. And maybe everywhere else he can be Zocha. Why? Why would Peah be worse than anything else? Maybe. At Kanlok, I'm Rabbanan Hassam. Ella, Dichtiv Lotilakeit, Le'ani Velager. So I can darshan it, lo telaket lani. One thing that the Pasuk is saying is, you don't have the right to take the payah for an anis. Okay, so if the Torah says so, the Rabbanan obviously are going to say, you're going to have to give it away to the ani anim tzarishon. But in a normal case where you're trying to help somebody out, you want to be chav liacherim at the same time that you help somebody else out. We don't have a perish or Pasuk that tells me that I cannot do that. So maybe the Rabbanan would be mighty that you can do it. So basically, you can bring absolutely no raya in either direction. Not Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer and not Aliba the Chachomim, because these are special cases. But wait a minute. According to this, I'm really curious now. If we darsh in the Pasuk of Lo Telaket, as if it says, Lo Telaket Le'ani. So why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer understand that the Pasuk is preventing you? And even if he would hold normally, you could do it. He should agree with the Chachamim that in this case, you cannot do it because the Torah said, don't do that to the Ani. So what does he understand from that pasuk? My Avidlai, Rabbi Eliezer says, Lahazir la'ani al-shalo, that the point of that is to tell the Ani that don't think just because you are an Ani, that allows you to go take your own payah. No. Even though you have a right to others' people payah, you do not have a right to your own payah. And if you have a field, you will have to leave payah in your field for aniyim. Okay. Now, the Mishnah said that the basis of the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim was the question of whether you have a right to cut off your Eved. If you have a right to cut off your Eved, so then it's entirely to his benefit for you to free him. And that's why the Chachamim say to Rabbi Meir, you can't change your mind because we were already Zocha for him because the Shliach was Zocha in it for him. She'im yirtzeh shelo lazun et avdo. He can do that. Yocho. So you see from here, oh gosh, Gavi is driving. Hopefully he'll remember afterwards to write down this question. Can you say to an Eved, Yochol harav lomar le'eved, asei imi ve'en izamcha? You work for me, but I am not going to feed you. You'll have to go around begging for food. L'chora, that's what they're saying. Because they're telling Rabbi Meir, well, you could stop feeding him. Not necessarily. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about that he had already explained to the Eved that, look, you go and you work for your own food. I'm not going to take care of your food. But it's not that you could say, I'm going to take all your money and then ask you to beg. That's something else. In which case, maybe the only proof in this statement of the Chachamim is where it's talking about Seima Seyadecha Lemizonotecha. Okay, so there, we, of course, why couldn't he do that? But if the Eved is working for you, maybe you have no right to tell him, go knock on doors and ask people for food. Maybe you'd have to actually leave him enough for his own food. Wait a minute. Hold on. Remember, the whole Mishnah is contrasting the get of an Isha to the get Shichrur of an Eved, right? Now, that means that the two cases obviously have to be juxtaposed in exactly the same circumstances. So that would mean that when the Chachamim say that the get Ha'isha, however, is definitely only a downside for her, but then that would be talking about where he had already said the same words to his wife. You're telling me the Chachamim are talking about a case where he told the Eved, I'm not going to feed you. You can keep enough of your own work to feed yourself. But if a husband tells his wife, who is working, I'm not going to feed you and you can use your own salary to feed yourself, we saw back in Ketuvot that that's a perfectly valid statement and that, in fact, he could do that. So if it's the equivalent case by the Isha, where he told her, Tzi'ima se'adayich bebezonatayich, why couldn't he do the same thing? Se'isha amaylo. In which case, it would only be no downside for her, because she's not going to be losing anything. Well, the case of the get Isha is talking about where she wasn't making enough money to pay for her food. So a husband always has to take care of his wife unless she's working and making money. So wait a minute. Okay, so then back to the other case, the equivalent case of the Eved. So you're telling me the Eved is not making enough, and nonetheless, the Odin would be able to say that Asei imi ve'eni zancha. Okay, so then we ended up proving the same thing. If he doesn't have to pay for the food of the Eved, where the Eved is not making enough, so then that proves our contention. Yochol omar la'Eved Asei imcha ve'eni zancha, right? Wrong. Why? Because obviously, if this Eved is unable to make enough money to feed himself, so then the master says, listen here, buddy, all you are is a drain. You don't even make enough money to feed yourself. So if you stay here and I also have to feed you, I mean, what the heck am I keeping you for? You're crazy. If you can't make enough money to fill your own tummy, so av the name crazy lo shavya, you're not worth even the money to feed your own stomach. So lamari v'lamarti l'mai midbay, why do we need him? The master needs him. The woman of the house needs him. So of course you're not mechuyev to pay for him then, because he doesn't generate any income. And he's not saving you anything. Fine, but that's not the case we're talking about. We're talking about a case of a real Eved. Can you say to him that I'm not going to feed you and you should continue to work? That case you cannot prove from here. Okay. Tashma, let's see if we can bring a raya from another interesting case. This case is where an Eved accidentally murdered someone, and we sent him away to an Ir Miklat. So the din is, his Rav does not need to pay for his food in that Ir Miklat. And not only that, anything that he works for goes to the Odin. Ooh. So, okay, this seems to be clear, Raya. So if he's not mechuyev to feed him, so then you see from here, yochol harav lomar la'eved asei imi ve'eni zanchasim. And obviously that means that I am able to tell my Eved, sorry, buddy, you work, but I don't pay. Well, maybe again, the same thing. We're talking about a case where he said, you should keep enough money to pay for your own food. So then why does the Braitzer say that everything that he earns goes to the Odin? I don't understand. Then you're saying the Odin told him he doesn't have to give what he earns to me, that he can keep that and use it to buy his food. So then why does it say Maaseya Davla Rabba? No, that's talking about income that is above what is needed to feed him. That goes to the Odin. What? I mean, so obviously that goes, I don't understand. I need a braisa to tell me that if an eved works, that the money goes to the odin. I mean, that's sort of basic, isn't it? I mean, it's parshat. Well, I might have thought that in a case where you make a deal with an eved, that he should work and feed himself, that where there is extra money, we allow him to use extra money to build up an emergency fund for where he wasn't able to find work so that he would at least have access to money to feed himself. So I might think that under circumstances where you say you keep your own money and feed yourself, that you can't demand every last penny that is above and beyond what's necessary for a basic diet, because he could say, but I mean, what happens if tomorrow morning nobody wants to hire me and then I starve? So maybe he should have a right to keep an emergency hadafat fund. So ma'od detema kivin dechilet le lo yoivle, ki eat le nami lo lishko mine, that since if the eva doesn't have enough money to live on, you're not, as the master, responsible to help him. So when he does have extra, then you're not allowed to take it from him, because this way he won't have any backup for an emergency. Kamash Malan, that no, if he makes any additional money, that then it goes to the other. So that's a chiddush. Yeah, but then if that's the point, why are we talking about a case where he was sent to an Ir Miklat? It's totally irrelevant, the story of the Ir Miklat. I don't understand. See, if we were learning the way we were learning before, that it's actually coming to tell me that you're not mechuyev to feed him, then I understand. There's a chiddush in an Ir Miklat, because in the Ir Miklat, it says in the Tzeptos, explains it. In the Ir Miklat, there would be a chiddush because it says over there, menos l'chad arima el v'choy. So v'choy should mean you have to make sure that he can actually live. You know, so maybe in that case, you would have to feed him. Okay, even there, you don't have to feed him. But if we're talking about where you made a deal where he's supporting himself and you told him he can keep his money, what the heck is the advantage of the Ir Miklat? Just tell me that then, without talking about an Ir Miklat, right? Because I might have thought that v'chai means even in this point, that even though he is working and you gave him the rights to keep money for working, maybe v'chai is to tell me you have to look ahead and allow him to have a reserve fund when he's in an Ir Miklat. So maybe there's additional chiyuv of v'chai. Avid lechiyut ha'tvei, let him have a little bit more to be certain of having enough. Kamash malan, that no, the odin can take everything that is above and beyond what it is that he's earning. Okay, so in other words, obviously we can't be sure that this is the approach, but in order to allow the shita that you're not allowed to take your eved and not feed him, so the only way that we work that out was by saying we're talking bedavka about a case where you made a deal with the eved and you say you keep the work and you actually buy your own food. Problem is that the next part of the Braita shows us that that was the wrong way to understand the part that we just read. Because since the Braita continues on to say that in the event that your wife was sent to an Ir Miklat, there the husband does have to feed her. Now, this is a big problem. Because remember that the two cases are juxtaposed and therefore they have to be equivalent. So if in the case of the woman, I do have to feed her. So apparently he did not tell her, you keep your own income. Because if he did tell her that, the Yomar law, Ba'ala Machayev, we said before that a man has the right to tell a woman with income, you use your own income. Why should I? I won't take your income, but you use it to pay for your own food. So then if that's the case, he didn't tell her that, because if he had told her that, why would it be saying over here in the Braisa that he has to pay for her food? You're allowed to make a deal with her. So we must be talking about the case where he did not say, keep your own money. So then if the Seifa, which is trying to juxtapose the case of the wife, is talking about that he did not tell his wife to buy her own food, so then that must be the juxtaposed case also in the Reisha, where he did not tell the Eved to pay for his own food, and nonetheless it says he doesn't have to be supportive of him. So then we do have a raya that a person can tell an Eved, sorry, you do the work, but I don't pay you. No, not necessarily. I'll tell you why. Because it might be talking about where you did make a deal, but the woman is unable to make enough money. And that's why he has to pay her. Come off it, man. These are juxtaposed cases. They have to be exactly the same. So if the woman didn't make enough money, then we have to be talking about that. If it says in the end, right? That's what you're telling me. You're talking about where she doesn't have enough. So you have to help her. And that means enough, like we said about the Eved for Ha'adafa. Okay, you could say that, but it's not true. Because Amidikani Seifa, the Brisa continues on to say that in the event that you had told her that you get to keep your own money, he could. So then that means that up until this point in the Brisa, we were talking about where he did not say that. So don't try to give me that. So Mikhal Duresha Delo Amarla, and nonetheless, in the equivalent case of an Eved, where he never made such a deal, the halacha is, he doesn't have to support him. No. It doesn't mean that. What it means is like this, Hachikamer. If she has enough, that's the introduction to the ratio, if she's earning enough, and he told her, that he could then do and not feed her. That's what it is. So we're talking about where she's not earning enough. Seifa is adding, but if she is earning enough, it's okay. Well, obviously it's okay. So what's the chiddush? I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Because this is a special case. Remember, we're talking about an ir miklat. Now, if his wife is now stuck in an ir miklat, that means that in order for her, let's say she was a seamstress, right? Okay, so where she's in her own city, everybody knows she's a seamstress, and they're going and they're bringing their begadim to the local seamstress. Now that she's in an ir miklat, nobody knows her. So then that means that she's going to have to go out and drum up business, right? She's going to have to knock on doors, anybody in need of a seamstress. So I might have thought that in that case, you cannot tell her she has to go make her own money. Because since it says in the Pasuk, O Kvuda Bat Melech Pnima, and Eishes Yisrael is considered to be a Jewish princess. And therefore, you can't tell her to expose herself in that way and cheapen her by her going out and drumming up business. So you might think that in that case, you have no right to tell your wife, look, you go work. You've been making money until now. Go work and support yourself. She could say, I can't go out. It's not my covet to go out and drum up business. Kamash Malan, that even so, if she's capable of earning her own money, he could tell her that. So basically, we still don't have any proof. Now, maybe this question of whether Yochol Adam Lomar La'avdo, Yochol Rav Lomar La'avdo, Asei Imi Ve'eni Zamcha, is actually a machloket Tanaim, because look at this braita, where it seems to be exactly the issue that we're arguing about. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Yochol Eved Lomar L'Rabo B'Shnei Batzor. Let's say it's a year of famine and is very difficult to afford to pay for food. So in a year of famine, he tells the Eved, apparently, that he's not feeding him. So the Eved can tell if it's years of famine, either feed me, Ohotzieni l'cheirut. Now, this idea of Hotzieni l'cheirut, as Tosis explains in this understanding, means Hotzieni l'cheirut vis-a-vis my own earnings. In other words, let me use my money to feed myself. But you can't tell me that you're not going to feed me. Whereas the Chachamim say, not true. He can decide whether he wants to give him the rights to his own money or not. So apparently this is the big machlokas here. B'hakam iflake, the Chachamim hold, that yochol rav lomar le'eved asei imi ve'eni zancha. And therefore the Eved cannot say to him, hey, this is not right. You're going to have to either feed me or allow me to keep my own work. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds, no, you can't say that. You have to actually give him his rights to his own work. Oh, says the Gemara, come on, you're not thinking straight. Vitisbara. Why, if that's the point, that we're talking about his own work, is that what it should say? O parnaseni o hotzieni lecheirut. Why would you say hotzieni lecheirut? You should just say, either parnaseni, or give me ma'asayadai b'parnasati. What kind of threat is this, or you have to free me? I'm not free me. So therefore, there's obviously some kind of other issue, because why would he be talking about freedom if that's not the point? And furthermore, if this is the machlokas, the way you understood it, so can you explain to me, what were you thinking? Why would the Braisa talk about dafka shnei batsoret? What does it have to do with shnei batsoret? You're saying there's a general question as to whether you can say to an eved, asei mi v'eni zantcha. So shnei batsoret is totally irrelevant. What do I care? You're really a nice guy, but you can't afford it. What difference does it make? We're talking about over here, not whether you're a nice guy. We're talking about that you have the legal rights to say, asei mi v'eni zantcha. So there's no way that this braita is talking about the overall standard machlokas under any all circumstances about whether a adam can say asei mi v'eni zantcha, because the phrasing is wrong, talking about freedom, and because the defining a particular situation of shnei batsoret is irrelevant. So I will explain to you how a normal person understands this braita, in which case it has zero to do with the question of asei mi v'eni zancha. Elohacha b'may askinan, de amar lo tzei ma'asei adecha l'mizonotecha. No, we're talking about that he did tell the Evet, you can keep your own work and you could feed yourself. And what happened is that because it's a year of famine, prices have skyrocketed. So now the Eved cannot afford with the paltry earnings. Normally he could have, but now he doesn't have enough to buy the inflated food prices. So b'shnei v'atzoret lo sipek. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, look, if that's the case, you've already done whatever you could for me, and you're not willing to give me money of your own to help pay. I don't have enough to live on. So therefore, either you're going to pay me enough to live on, or you have to free me, because otherwise I'm going to starve to death. If you free me, then people who see me starving as a homeless guy out in the street, they will have rachamim on me. Here is a tire yid who's serving, who is starving. We got to help him, you know, so that they'll put it on the local charity WhatsApp, and then people will come and they'll give me food. But if I'm an Eved and it's Shnei Batsoret, people are going to say, well, you know, we got to save our money for free men. I don't want to give my money to Avonim. So in order for me to collect charity, there's the only way I can live. You're going to have to free me. That's the point, because otherwise, why are we talking about freedom? And that's the point. That's why Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying that you have to actually free me, because then people will say, oh, this is a tire yid, but he was an Eved, but now he's a normal person who's starving. Whereas Rabbanan say, that's crazy. If a guy is going to give charity, what, you think he's just because the guy's an Eved? I mean, even if he's an Eved, he's not an Arab, is he? He's an Eved. So he's chayav in mitzvahs. So you're going to also have rachamim on him. You're not going to say, this is an enemy of the Jewish people, I should give him tzedakah. Okay, so therefore, if it's a person who is kind enough to people who are B'nai Chorin, he'll be kind enough for an Eved also. It has zero to do with the question of Asei Mi V'eni Zancha. It's talking about that he is giving him as much as he can afford. He allowed him to work for himself. Okay, let's see if we can bring a raya to the question from here. Tashma, the Omar Rav, HaMagdish Yidei Avdo. What happens in a case where a master actually was magdish the yadayim, and remember we said yadayim isei ba'olam, so it's not a davar shelo ba'olam, and he gives therefore all of the income that will be coming from these yadayim, he's giving the yadayim to hekdesh. That means there's zocha in everything that the eved manufactures or raises money with, working with these yadayim. So how in the world is that eved going to survive? Well, he could borrow money, and he eats with the borrowed money, and then he can work to pay back the money. How can he work to pay back the money? Well, as we're going to see, what he can do is he can pay back by working for less than a shava pruta at each point. So he makes a deal with the person that he's working for. You owe me for every hammer that I bang on a nail. How much do I owe you? 1/100 of a cent. I mean, what's the point? Because if you only owe me 1/100 of a cent, then Hegdash doesn't take it from me. Why? Because Hegdash, Rashi says, is only chal on a shava pruta. And therefore, Hegdash won't take it from me. So this way, I could pay you back. So after I work for you for 5 years with all of those hammer blows, I will have paid you back at 1/100 of a cent per hammer blow, right? Okay, so that is technically doable. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi about there being a general rule of Hegdash not being zeiche in less than a shava pruta. And Tosfos, because it's not listed as one of the things that is defined by shava pruta, and therefore Tosfos says it's understood that when I gave the hands to Hegdash, it meant some value, a pruta at a time. But less than a pruta, Hegdash doesn't have rights to. Okay, whatever the point is, there's a way to get out of the problem. But let's consider the implications of the problem. You gave away everything that this Eved is going to produce to Hegdash. So then how could you not feed him? I'm very confused. Must be that you have a right to have the Eved work for you and not feed him. Exactly. So you see from here that if that's the case, that Oto HaEved only gets to eat by borrowing and then paying back Pachas B'Shava Pruta. So then that proves 100% that according to Rav, Yochol HaRav Lomar LaEved Asei Miveni Zancha, because how else could he give away the work of his hands to Hegdash if he doesn't owe it because he's not feeding him? Not true. Maybe Rav is talking about a case where he is feeding him. Who said he's not feeding him? Bema Lelo Mizonot. What? So then why does it say the Eved has to borrow? You're so confusing me. You said the only way the Eved's going to eat is if he borrows money. And then he can pay back that money. Was he able to borrow money? I'm feeding him. Lo veva ochel. Why? No. That's lo veva ochel laha'adafa. I, as the Odin, am giving him just enough to live on. Now, if you want this guy to be fully functional, it needs to eat a little bit better than an actual welfare diet, right? So that's talking about hadafa. This is obviously not the hadafa that we were talking about before, where we were talking about using his extra production for a backup fund. Do not confuse it with that word hadafa, his extra money. Over here it means for extra food. So, wait a minute, what do you mean for extra food? Then Hegdash should say to this Eved, excuse me, but now we're going to be taking more of your Maisi Adai, right? Because you managed without extra food until now, so you should manage without this extra food from henceforth, and therefore, how can we actually cost Hegdash money by saying that he should actually have an extra diet? That doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't that money have to go to Hegdash? No, Hegdash is happy. Hegdash is very happy that he should have extra money that he gets from borrowing over here and so on. Because the point is, they can't tell the Eved, hey, listen here, man, what do you mean you're working with hammer blows for this other guy? Those hammer blows belong to us. No. We are very happy for you to be in better shape than living off of the subsistence diet, because that way you're worth more money to us. So that way the Eved is in better shape, is worth more money to be sold, is more energetic to be able to produce. Okay, but wait a minute. How could he borrow money to pay it back? Where's he going to get money to get paid back? Kama kodeshwe. I thought it all goes to Hegdash. It's talking about over here, pachot b'shava pruta, as we explained it. And the pachot b'shava pruta does not go to Hegdash. And by the way, Achinami Mistavra. Obviously, that's got to be the case. Because since Rav said another thing, which makes no sense if this wouldn't be true, it's got to be that Rav actually holds from here that you cannot say Asei Mi Ve'eni Zancha. And we're only talking about the Hadafa. Why? Because Rav Paskin a different din, namely, HaMagdish Yidei Avdo. Somebody who did this, that Eved is allowed to work and use the money to buy food to eat. Because if he doesn't, to Ilo Avda, if he is not able to earn money, who is going to be giving him food? Hekish is not going to give him food. The Eved is not being given food. Who's going to give him food? Oh, I don't understand. But before we said that he has to borrow, I'm so confused. Does Rav hold that he has to borrow the money, or does Rav hold that he actually has a right to the workings of his hands insofar as he can make his own money to eat? What kind of argument is this? Ilo Avda Man Palachle, if he's not allowed to work money, who's going to give him? Who's going to serve him food? I mean, that's exactly the opposite of what I said before. I mean, so if you're going to tell me that it's not a contradiction, that Ian Ritbishlama, that the case that we had before is what I said. It's talking about where the Adon is feeding him. And the din is that, Eino yochol harav lomar asei mi ve'eni zancha. So then, this case that we just brought is not a contradiction, because it's talking about that he's not providing food. And if he's not providing food, since he doesn't have a right to tell the Eved, well, you're going to have to work without food, so then he doesn't have a right to give the Maisi Yadayim to Hekdesh, because it doesn't belong to him if he's not giving food. So then Rav is completely consistent. You do not have a right to say that to the Eved. The case that we were talking about before, that the Eved borrows, is talking about Lahadafa, and he's going to pay it back, because the Adon is feeding him, he's just not feeding him more than his basic needs. So then everything makes perfectly good sense, and that would mean that Rav is not a contradiction. So the one case is talking about where he is Mala, because he can't tell him to work without being Mala, and the second case is talking about B'she'eno Mala, and therefore, since he doesn't have the right to give that work away to Hekdesh because he doesn't own it, because he's not feeding him, so then the Eved gets to work and keep his money for his own food. So then Shaper, there's no contradiction. But if you're going to tell me that the original case was talking about where he's not feeding him because he is able to give away his work without feeding him, the Yochol, and Yochol harav lomar la'Eved asei mi ve'eno yochol, ve'eno eni mezincha, so then, what kind of ridiculous argument is this? Because, says Rav, if he doesn't have a right to feed himself, who will feed him? I don't know. It's none of my business who feeds him. Manda by live. Who wants to feed him? Feed him. I don't know. You said you can always tell an Eved, go to get charity and eat. It's not my business. So how all of a sudden did it become the business of Agnes over here? It makes no sense. Whoever wants to can feed him, because you have a right to say that thing. So then Rav would be making absolutely no sense at all. He's contradicting himself. El alav shmami. Now, the only way to understand Rav properly is that actually, eino yochol lomar la'avda asei mi ve'eni zancha, shmamina, and in fact, this clearly proves that that's the only way to understand Rav. According to Rav, apparently, an Adon cannot tell his Eved asei mi ve'eni zancha. He cannot leave him to his own devices to gather money from tzedakah. He's got to either give him the rights to his own work to feed himself, or he's got to feed him. That we were medayek in Rav, and we made that very, very clear. Today, we want to see that there is actually those who hold exactly the opposite, and that you can tell an Eved, asei mi ve'eni zancha. So we're up to Tashma. Diyomar Rabbi Yochanan, Akotea Yad Avdo Shochaveiro Noten Shifto Urufuato L'Rabo. Somebody cuts off the hand of an Eved. Who does he have to pay for the Shevet and the Ripui? Now, the truth is he has to pay the other things as well. We're talking about specifically Shifto Urufuato. Shifto remember, is written together in the pasuk. Gam shifto yiten v'rapo yirape. So we're focusing on that pasuk, and shifto actually includes two different things usually, in when it's used here in the place of nezek, because there's what's called shevet gadol and what's called shevet katan. Shevet gadol is the money that he's out for the rest of his life. The fact that he doesn't have a hand to work with, which now is going to be changing the whole nature of his income. That's included in what's usually called nezek. So shevet, when used here, includes the permanent damage. Shevet katan is even after he's paid for that loss, which is be a tremendous amount of money, he still is able to make a living if he wouldn't be in the hospital. And he would be able to make a living. I mean, maybe, you know, just as a doorman or something. But what's called in the Gemara, Shomer Kishuim, a cucumber watcher, you know, okay. So he doesn't need a hand in order to be able to do that. He just needs to be present. And that he's not able to do now because he's in the hospital. That's called the Shevet Katan to make up for the week's work that he could be doing in the future that he cannot be doing now. So when it says over here, you pay the master for the Shevet, and it says that he also, you give the master the medical expenses, which that doesn't make any sense. I mean, the medical expenses, you're paying to the doctor for the Evet. I mean, what does that have to be giving it to the master? Okay, that we're going to discuss. But the point is over here that Oto Evet Nizon Minat Zedakah, that Evet, while he's sick over here, is not being fed by the Adon, despite the fact that the Adon is taking the Shevet, which is the value of his work. I mean, how can you have it both ways? Unless you obviously hold, Shema Mina, Yochol Harav Lomar La'Eved HaSei Miveni Zanach. I am not going to feed you, but you're going to have to work for me. So therefore, I'm going to take the value of your work, which is included in the Shevet, and you can go and go make a request to the Tzedakah Society to give you food. So that obviously Reb Yochanan doesn't hold like Rav. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. Maybe it's talking about over here that the Rav is giving him food. What do you mean? You just said the Eved should go to the charity fund. Why is he going to the charity fund? What do you mean? If you're telling me that the case is that the Adon is feeding him, then what charity fund? No. That's because ha'adafa. I mean, this guy's in bad shape, you know. He needs additional food in order to help with the healing process and needs extra protein. And that is not part of what the Adon usually gives him. So for the extras, he should go to the charity fund. So then why would Rabbi Yochanan say nizon minatzdaka? Nizon never means special needs. Nizon means your standard parnasa. Whatever it is that you're going to be needing to survive on, it should have said, mit parnes mi boile. Yeah, support. Support comes from tzedakah. Support means extra support. What you're going to need now in order to be able to get out of this problem of rebuilding your body, that's something else. But he doesn't say that. El alav, he means exactly what he said. You, Adon, are able to take the money that he's going to be coming in to make up for his lost work, because that's yours, and nonetheless, you don't have to feed him. And you could tell him, go to the charity fund. So obviously, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Shema Mina, that he doesn't hold of Rav. And so now we end up with a machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rav, we use the word Odin, otherwise it's a little confusing. So according to Rav, Yachol HaRav, Yachol HaOdan Lomar LaEved, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Ken Yochol. The Rav is allowed to say, you do the work, and you can go and get fed from charity. Anyway, I don't quite understand. We mentioned earlier that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we give his medical expenses to the master. That doesn't make sense. Omar Mar, Noten Shifto Urefuato L'Rav. There's two things here that don't make sense to me. The first is that you're going to pay the master for his lost work. Well, obviously, who else are you going to pay? I don't understand. I mean, he's the one that owns the Evid's work. So what's the issue? I understand that you wanted to explain to me that nonetheless gives him the right to say, Binizon minat tzedakah. So, okay, then you could have just said so. I mean, you don't have to say this whole story over here, you know. All you needed to say is that one halacha. Not, you don't have to mention Chief Tol, Rabbah, that's a given. Refuato itzrichale. The truth is, the big chiddush is that the medical expenses are given to the Adin. But the medical expenses should not be given to the Adin. That makes it even worse. I understand. Refuato didei, the boyitziyebe. That doesn't go to the Adin. That should be going to the Eved. He needs that money in order to pay his hospital bills. What are you saying? I'll tell you what it's talking about over here. It's talking about that this Eved was actually signed up for 5 days in the hospital, which was what was normally necessary in order to deal with the condition of his amputated arm. Now, what happened was that the master goes ahead and he speaks to the hospital staff. And he says, why is it going to take so long? Why can't you use some very painful advanced methods to get him out of here faster? I can't afford this. Okay, fine. So they actually do that. They use Samach Harifa. They use very powerful medication, which is absolutely murder on this poor Eved. But they get him out of the hospital in 3 days instead of in 5 days. Now, meanwhile, the person who amputated the arm, he was sued for 5 days. Now we got 2 extra days. Who gets those 2 extra days of money? That's what's coming to tell me, that those 2 extra days that were paid and were not given to the hospital because the poor Eved was tortured in order to get out of the hospital early, well, that money goes to the Adin. That's the Chiddush. So you might have thought, I mean, my God, this poor Eved suffered for it. Doesn't his pain go to him? Kamash Balan, no, his pain does not go to him. If a person owns an animal, I mean, what are you going to say? The animal's pain, it doesn't go to the owner. What would that mean? So let's see that inside. Look, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is we're talking about a case, Tricha de Amadula Chamisha Yomi, the Abdullah Samach Harifa Vitzei Betata Yomi. So he was paid for a 5-day hospital stay. So Mao de Tema, Tsara de Deu. You might have thought that since he got out of the hospital early because he suffered, he at least gets the right to his suffering. Kamashbon, that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. Those extra 2 days are paid to the owner. Now, Tanya, let's get back to the Mishnah. So we may remember that in the Mishnah we have this big question about whether if you are sending a shtar shichrur to an Eved, is that considered to be a zechut, or is that considered to be a chovah? According to Rebbe Meir, the shliach did not have any ability to take that shtar for the Eved. Why? Because it's not a good thing for the Eved. After all, it's going to mean that he does no longer have a guaranteed income, right? Okay, so we had this whole question. The Mishnah is very opaque, the discussion between the Chachamim and Rebbe Meir. So let's take a look at the Braita that speaks it out a little bit more, but does not seem to be any less opaque. Let's see what it says. Omer Rebbe Elazar. So Rebbe Elazar says, look, you know, I'll tell you what went on behind the scenes when Rebbe Meir said that, because Amar Nelo Meir, our friend, I mean, it was his friend, he didn't call him Rebbe Meir, we said to our friend Meir, well, I don't know what you're saying. I mean, isn't it a good thing for a person to get his freedom? Who wants to be a slave to someone? Omar Lano, so he, Rebbe Meir said to us, no, it's actually a tremendous chov. This is not advantageous to him because Imaya Eved Kohen poslomina truma. Because after all, he now won't be able to be eating truma. And then we said back to him, well, after all, if this guy didn't want to give anything to his Eved, he could just basically do that even without giving him a get shichrur, because obviously we hold l'chora that he could say to him, v'yaseimi v'nizancha. So therefore, what is the difference if he could eat truma? Now, obviously, there's a misunderstanding here, because in the end, Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, it utilizes this idea of truma specifically. He obviously is talking to them about the nature of truma, not the nature of general parnosa. So apparently there was a misunderstanding on the part of we here in the Braita, meaning the Chachamim who were arguing with the Meir, and they thought that the reason that he mentioned truma was just as a particular element of the fact that he had a parnosa, because truma means he has a great parnosa, because look, you know, it doesn't really cost his master very much to feed him. The master is a kohen. He's getting free truma. That means that he's probably giving this Evet an excellent parnosa, and he's going to be losing that excellent parnosa. That's what apparently they heard Rabbi Meir say. And therefore they said to Rabbi Meir, well, who cares? If he wanted to cut the Evet out from Parnassa, he could easily have done that by saying, I'm not feeding you anymore. So that's not an advantage to the Evet, because in any event, he's totally vulnerable in that area. It's not guaranteed. So he answered us, Rabbi Meir, something really weird. He told us, well, I mean, let's say an Evet Kohen who runs away and a Eshet Kohen who runs away and she rebels against her husband, and her husband can't even find her to divorce her. So what's the din? They would continue eating truma. So what is the fact that he could tell his Evet Asei Miveni Zancha? The truma is irrelevant. Halo ochlim betruma v'zein ochel. You guys don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that you're depriving him of truma that is irrelevant to whether the guy is feeding him or not. Now, the Braita says, okay, we agree, though, that an Isha, of course, is a Chov, because he's passing her both from Truma, and she's losing her Mizonot, because he would not be able to tell a wife, well, you, even though you can't afford to feed yourself, you are not getting money from me. He couldn't do this. But anyway, the whole thing, as you see, is very unclear. So can you explain to me what did they say to him, and what did he say to them? I don't get it. Maikar Marlei, umaikar Mahadelahu. Now, here's how it goes. Rabbi Meir essentially was saying to them, look, guys, you're telling me that he doesn't necessarily have to feed him. But I wasn't talking about feeding him. Darn it, I was talking about truma. That's what I was telling you. You didn't address that point that I was making. Hashevituni al hamizonot. What are you going to answer when it comes to the truma? So the truma is not going to be something that he can cut him out of. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, what do you mean? Sure, he could cut him out of it. He could take the Shtar Shichrur, go over to the Evet, in Rosh Hasharabim, you know, and throw the Get Shichrur to him. And that way, it would be his whether he wanted it or not. And that would passel him from eating truma, right? So that's also, he's totally vulnerable to the Adon for. That's what you're going to tell me? And I will tell you there's no such thing. Because suppose this Evet, realizing that the Adon wants to get him free, and he's going to lose his Parnassa, suppose the Evet just runs away and hides out. So how are you going to get him a Get Shichrur? You're not going to be able to cancel his Truma. And what would be the din then? He's now living in some other town. He goes and he takes Truma. He can eat Truma wherever the heck he wants. So suppose he would run away, you know? What would be the difference? Suppose a woman would run away. What would be the difference? They still get to eat Truma. Shavikle. So he will, in advance, he'll run away when he realizes the guy wants to pass him from Truma Vazel Alma, and he'll disappear. Because after all, and this is what Rabbi Meir was saying, now we understand, Uma ilu Evet Kohen Shabarach, if an Evet runs away, or a woman runs away, so what's going to be? They have to stop eating Truma? Of course not. They continue to eat Truma. Halo Chlim B'Truma. And now if this Shliach is going to be Zoicha in this Get Shichrur for this Evet, it's going to be a terrible loss for the Evet. Halo Ochlim B'Truma V'Ze'en Olchel. Hey, says the Gemara, now that's a darn good taina. How indeed would they answer that? Shapika Omar Lahu. Rebbe Lozer didn't even say how they answered that. Omar Rava, that's because the answer's in the Mishnah, for God's sake. You don't need the Braisa to tell you the answer. That's why in the Mishnah, the Chachomim answer Rebbe Meir with the words, yeah, but that's Mipnei Shukinyan. No, he's only eating Bechuma because he owns him anyway. If he wanted to disown him, what would it take to disown him, Rebbe Meir? All it would take is going over to somebody who's not a Kohen and say, how would you like to own a wonderful Evet for 10 cents? Now find somebody to buy the Evet for 10 cents. The guy says, where's the Evet? I don't know. He's run away, but the cops are looking for him. Would you give me 10 cents for him? Just in case they find him? Yeah, 10 cents I'll give you. Okay, fine. So you give him 10 cents for the Evet. At that point, the Evet is not owned any longer by the Kohen. He's no longer allowed to eat Truma. So anyway, it's up to me, says the Adon, to mess up his ability to eat Truma. So I can do that. So what's the downside, tell me, for the Evet? It's only an upside. He gets freed. Much better than his being sold to some other idiot. And if he did that, anyway, would pass him from Truma. Now, that is basically the discussion. So, but wait a minute. I mean, how many Avonim are Avonim of a Kohen? Why are we making this a universal discussion about whether the Shliach is Zocha for an Eved, and then Rabbi Meir starts talking about something irrelevant? Well, if he's a Kohen, what about Truma? But what about if he's not a Kohen? What are the chances he's the Evet of a Kohen? So the Rebbe Meir, he's talking about only an Evet Kohen. I mean, fine, that case, I understand. One case out of 100, all right? But what about a regular Evet? I mean, the discussion, the mission revolves around a regular Evet. What about an Evet Yisrael? What is the disadvantage to him? Omrev Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak, because he can no longer have sexual relations with a Shivcha Kananit. I don't understand. Why is that a downside? I mean, now he's a full Jew and he can marry a Jewish princess. So, Arehu Matiroba ben Chorin. That's the whole point. Who wants to marry a Jewish princess? He would much rather be able to have as much fun as he wants with as many shvachot as he wants. A Jewish princess? Like, she's going to tell me what I can do, what I can't do, when I can sleep with her, when I can get out of here. He wants Avda Befkera Neichale. He just wants fun, right? And by being available to him, the Shvachot, Zilale, she's cheap. Shrichale, she's always there available. Pritzale, she's going to do any kind of tricks that he wants from her. And that he's not going to get out of a Jewish princess. And therefore, according to Rebbe Meir, bottom line is, he'd much rather have fun than have freedom. And the entire America testifies to this, as does just about the whole Western civilization. So we could paskin in this piece. Sure sounds like Rabbi Meir is right on the ball with this.